Backseat Producers, episode 316, Fargo. Hey everybody, this is Tony. I just wanted to let you know that we had a minor technical glitch. The technical glitch being when I set up Adam's microphone, the physical switch on the microphone turned off. And so through about half the recording, we don't have the benefit of his microphone being turned on. You may consider that a blessing or a curse, depending on how you feel about him. But as it stands, I'm going to attempt to recover the audio as best I can from other microphones that are nearby him. He may be light. He may not sound as clear. I'm going to do what I can, and hopefully you'll be able to hear most of what he has to say through the course of the episode. And I can assure you, about halfway through the episode, we realize this, turn his microphone on, and it sounds much better. So thanks for listening. Have a great time, and let us know what you think. It's been a while since we've heard from you guys, so shoot us an email, make some comments on the website, or send us a voicemail. The number's right on the site. Thanks.
All right, so we were talking before you guys showed up about what to do next week.
Mm-hmm.
So we narrowed it down to two choices.
Okay.
Hook and Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, boy, that's a choice.
Bob Hoskins.
Yeah, recently dead guy podcast.
Yeah, it's not what it is.
I went to Bob Hoskins, taught me everything I need to know about life.
Yeah.
Well, now I'm on my own.
Yeah.
It's rough.
You dig it. I'll vote for Super Mario Brothers. I've seen Hook, and it's terribly.
I mean, I've seen both of them, but.
Yeah, we've all seen both of them. Have you not seen Super Mario Brothers?
I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Don't pull that card.
That's
always too recent to pull that card.
That is the time that I've seen it.
Whoa.
You haven't seen it since then?
Whoa.
Except for the 20 minutes that I watched earlier today.
Whoa.
Yeah, some 90s hot, too. Like, I'm comfortably 90s.
That's not
hot.
The chick that's at the beginning, is it? The student?
Who shows up at the end. Spoiler, she's the chick who shows up at the end.
Oh.
Brings her back to Mushroom Kingdom.
I forgot. It's been 20 plus years since I've seen this movie.
Yeah, that was not the. I don't recall that was the part I fixated on when I saw this movie, which is probably about 8 or 10 years.
Was it John Leguizamo?
It was Dennis Hopper, wasn't it? It was Bob Hoskins.
Was it those jumping shoes?
It was the creepy Oshi.
Yeah, it was creepy. You know what we'll talk about?
Alright, so we'll do Super Mario?
Yeah.
I found at least two sources on YouTube that are showing the entire movie.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, because
I'll bring my full body review of Super Mario Brothers.
Fantastic.
One hand.
I take it is not on Netflix.
No, it's not on Netflix.
Okay.
Thought it was probably
be on iTunes or
Stingray. Stingray brings us all the good stuff.
And then I opened it up and I watched 5 minutes of Ron Jeremy's thick, sweaty bush, and I was like, man. I'd rather just have the memory of not knowing that this existed.
See, wow. Stingray brought us Super Hornio Brothers. He brought us the Inception Bomb.
Yeah, here's the thing with Super Hornio Brothers, though. It's like slider syndrome. The reality could never live up to how awesome
the potential
it was
of yeah,
be.
Potential energy just wasn't, just didn't.
Yeah, I only got.
Couldn't be meted out.
I'm a pretty liberal individual, but I only got so much time in me of staring around Jeremy's sack. And that time goes quickly.
Well, anyway, yesterday I did attend a private screening of the up-and-coming Fox Searchlight film that's probably going to be making some waves here soon. It's called Belle. It's a historical drama.
About what?
Oh, is that the one with Oh, anyway, describe it because I think I saw a trailer for it.
All right, it's set in England in 1769. This young mulatto girl is brought by her father to his uncle's mansion and declares the girl his daughter and wants her to be raised as a young lady of fine breeding. Well, being that they take one look at her and say, "Oh, really?" But he says it's her mother who's died. It's the right thing to do. So he drops off this young girl into this very, very conservative upper class English family and says, "Raise her like you would raise any other young woman, because you're raising my brother's illegitimate daughter." And so that's where the movie starts. So it's a historical drama between the girl who is obviously of mixed heritage, growing up in the rather stratified English society, and how she kind of copes with it.
How much sex?
None. This is a historical drama about the aristocratic set.
Didn't used to have sex.
Look, their idea of sex is when he grabs her arm, and that's like, "You beast!"
Well, why'd you just rape Tony?
I raped Tony. I mean, he's sullied now and insuitable for marriage.
So is there anyone in this that we would know?
Very few. It's all English actors.
Does Idris Elba play the mulatto girl?
No, she doesn't. No, he doesn't anyway.
If he did, I would watch
this. Is one that is one. Apparently, is getting a lot of traction in a lot of the European film festivals. So
that mulatto girl is so surly.
Yes.
God damn, I want to have sex with him.
Yes, well, she sort of becomes the object of exotic beauty. And everybody says, "Well, she'll never find a husband."
Sounds an awful lot like Idris Elba.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's one worth watching if it does come out.
Idris Elba's already found his husband, though, right?
We saw the test. I saw this test screening at Plaza Frontenac on Tuesday. It's supposed to be due out in wide release on the 14th.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's getting the critics despise it, but the public loves it. The audience was pretty.
The public loves it.
Yes, if you look at Rotten Tomatoes, Rotten Tomatoes, just all the people there voted highly. If you look at IMDb, all the critics there just despise it. The theater was full, and the audience was pretty taken with it. They got into the story. It moves very slowly, but very deliberately.
Does Plaza Frontenac creep you out?
No, not really.
There's something about that theater creeps me out.
What?
I love it.
Creeps you out about it? Because I will say, when we first moved to St. Louis, Sean worked at the Jamestown 14 Theater. That was
That's up by Lumen.
Well, it does. Was no longer exists. But that was a creepy theater to be in, because there was at one point they had to.
That guy would sit behind you and breathe really heavy during every movie.
You know, that was the one time, like, I thought it was a myth, this idea that people would answer their cell phones during a movie and then not leave. I had never seen it before until I was there, and then it happened multiple times.
There's also one in Clayton.
Which doesn't exist.
The one in Clayton. Kind of closed.
The one in Clayton.
Esquire.
At one point, they had to shut down one of the wings. Well, I mean, this was all when it was still open. But one time, they had to shut down one of the wings because of black mold, which I think is fantastic. Yeah. So,
put some movie theater popcorn on it, then. That'll kill it.
That's black mold with a
carcinogen. Nonetheless, keep an eye out on the movie Bell. It's going to probably make some waves in the next few years. You might call it 12 Years a Slave light.
Oscar bait.
It's Oscar bait.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Daryl.
This is Jolie.
And this is David.
We are the Backseat Producers. Happy anniversary to us.
Yay.
This is April 30th, is the 8th anniversary of the first episode being released.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have created huge milestones. Are we now the longest running movie podcast, or are there still someone out there ahead of us?
I'm pretty sure there are a few that are out there ahead of us.
But we're right up in the upper.
We're up there.
We're long distance runners.
I think we might be the longest running. I think we might be the longest running St. Louis podcast.
Go on.
I don't have any.
To go with that,
I only know of a few, and like there are only two that are about the same that started about the same time, and one of them is gone. That was Ryu Cope's Bad Buddhist Radio.
God damn that guy.
Yeah, and then
he's still producing.
But is he?
Yes, he is. He moved up. He packed up.
He stopped for years though.
He stopped for a while because his wife had cancer. So he had to devote all his time to her treatment, and and then he started it back up again. He produced a whole series of episodes.
Well, she got
and,
yeah,
she did. Yeah. She recovered.
Yes. I was going to say,
we reviewed one of their movies.
Yeah, I reviewed one of their movies.
She did get better, but I guess about a year ago,
real sad.
About a year ago, Ryu decided that he had had enough living in Illinois, and he packed up and they moved to New Jersey, of all places.
What?
Yes, that's what I said. What?
Well, that's interesting.
Yes, they sold everything they had so it would fit down into one trailer, and they split to New Jersey.
You can do that when you're a Buddhist, though.
I guess so.
I kind of have a feeling that's...
He produced two whole episodes on the topic of stuff and having too much of it and getting attached to it.
I didn't know he was still producing content.
Yes, he's still.
I stopped listening.
Well, he's no longer St. Louis podcast. Then, so who cares?
Yes.
Ding.
Yes, Ryu's still producing. His production is kind of spotty, but he's still producing.
Well, that's New Jersey for you.
Yep.
And the only other one that I know that is nearly as long running actually had its first episode drop in May, not in April.
I remember. I'm not there for it. I was there for episode 2.
Yeah.
Then came the red.
That you showed back up for episode 3.
Stole so much of my good material.
Alright, so next week we're going to mourn the loss of Bob Hoskins.
No, we're not going to mourn.
We're going to celebrate his life.
God damn, I hate this bullshit mourning people. You don't even know these people.
But
we've learned so much from him.
No, yes.
You can't become attached to somebody because they have a great body of work. I became so attached to Philip Seymour Hoffman because he's in so many good movies. We've invited him into our lives.
We have to
pretending to be somebody else.
Because he's one of the best at doing it. So. How is it that I can't, you know, why can't I become attached to him? Because when I know I see him in a movie, I know it's going to be fantastic.
It's because this guy's a heartless automaton. It's fine. We just move on.
Listen, I'm not down with this public grief. Like, not everything has to be this awful grief thing. We can just get over it and move on with our lives.
But first we have to talk about...
we're going to talk about Super Mario Brothers. But really, I think that's more of a celebration of John Leguizamo's probably greatest film.
Dennis Hopper.
No. Dennis Hopper was in Waterworld, Tony.
He was also in Speed. But he was awesome in Waterworld. He really was. He really was awesome in Waterworld.
But was he Speed awesome in Waterworld?
I can't consider anything Speed awesome. Maybe the ending credits. The ending credits were awesome because, man, I was done with that movie then.
With Speed?
Yeah, I did not like that movie. And then they made Speed 2.
Which was so good. I love that movie so much because it was so bad.
It was a train wreck, but it was a boat instead.
It was a shipwreck, not a train wreck.
I wish somebody would have been shipwrecked at that point. That's all I got before we start talking about Fargo, don't you know?
Stop it.
Yeah, hey.
You know who the best person in this movie was? Steve Buscemi.
Because he didn't talk in the accent.
Not only was he Steve Buscemi, but he also didn't have an accent. That's what I liked most about the movie.
Steve Buscemi.
Steve Buscemi's not accent.
So you wouldn't feel, if Steve Buscemi died tomorrow, you wouldn't feel a little twinge of man, that guy was awesome and stuff.
You remember that time when he gave that SNL monologue and it was really funny? Nah, I'd buy it over frequently.
I was only upset that Bob Hoskins died because then that cemented the fact there would never truly be a Roger Rabbit 2.
That is true.
Yeah.
I would have liked to see a Roger Rabbit 2.
I would have even been fine with him doing it today, at his age.
His age is like a fine wine. Can you imagine what Idris Elba's going to be like at that age?
He's going to be like Morgan Freeman times two.
Yeah. Only like sexually powerful.
Yeah.
Morgan, there's nothing sexual about Morgan Freeman.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty goddamn sure.
Do you remember a couple of years ago when he got into that car accident with his girlfriend in the car?
With his considerably younger girlfriend? With his
young, hot girlfriend in the car?
Was he reading an audiobook?
No, I'm pretty sure he was banging her. Like, not
while he was driving?
Let's hope so, but probably not.
I think he was. I want to say I actually heard that he was getting roadhead.
That sounds
really so. That's why he crashed.
That's why he crashed.
That sounds fantastic.
My buddy swore up and down to me because he was dating this chick who was down at Springfield or something. That on the drive there and back, he would have sex with her because he had like this massive Cadillac and had like these big bench seats, and she was a small girl. And I was like, man.
Springfield, Illinois, or Missouri?
Missouri.
I would believe it more for Springfield, Illinois, just because.
The sexual encounter lasts less than 10 minutes, Tony.
But you know, it's not the time. It's the.
It is a boring drive. I've been on it many times.
Flat road.
No, there's a flat road between Springfield and Missouri.
Yeah, there is.
Springfield, yes, Illinois. That's what I'm saying. Springfield, Illinois, in here, it is nothing but.
Well, no, but there is a considerable amount of the drive between here and Springfield, Missouri, that is flat.
There is, yeah. There
it's
is
only the very last bit that's hilly.
God damn it, Springfield.
Missouri?
Yeah.
I do too. I think it's a terrible place.
Yeah, and its proximity to Branson does not work for it. That guy's getting married to somebody else. I have to tell that story. I screwed it up.
I know he'll appreciate that.
He will. He proposed to her while skydiving.
Ugh.
Tell you what. Depending on your answer will depend on if I pull your cord or not.
When he came back from Iraq, he brought a hookah there. And then awesome. He smoked a hookah for a long time.
Those things are
probably
quite
longer
yummy
than is appropriate for an adult.
Well, wait, like in one, are you talking about one sitting or just over
a
large
night
amount of time?
It was a long night.
Those things go for hours. Because basically you take this bowl of tobacco that's like this big and you put a coal on it and then you're like,
all right.
No, you can't smoke anything else but tobacco out of a hookah. I don't care what you say. And then if you do, it's not a hookah. But it's basically like fruit pulp and tobacco. And the thing that's great about it is you sit there and you smoke on it for hours and hours and hours. And then you realize I'm jumping out of my skin because I've consumed so much nicotine that I kind of want to tear my face off. It's fruity.
Yeah, it tastes great.
It's great.
It's like the opposite of everything I feel about cigarettes.
Because it's not hot and it's tasty.
Yeah. It was a pleasant experience.
Yeah.
But the night was cool, so it was nice to sit out. It was a whole to do.
Now you know why it's so popular over there. Because it seems like if you've got nothing else to do, if the television is bad, let's get hopped up on tobacco. We still have a hookah.
Just so long as you don't use your cell phone.
Yeah.
That's no problem.
I don't know what to do with it, though, because we still have one. It has not been used in years.
Well, use it. Seems like a pretty singular function object.
Well,
take it out and
but then it's
use
like,
it.
The thing is, it's like 2.5 feet tall, and then you're sort of like, do I really want to get rid of this? I mean, I'm never going to use it, but what if someday, that one time, somebody famous comes over to our house and says, if only I smoked a hookah right now.
We went through a phase like
Bill
that.
Murray. Bill Murray would knock on your door.
If Bill Murray came
hey,
over.
Do you have a hookah? No.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah, we went through a phase like that. We just threw everything. I'm not joking.
Like someday if I have the desire to smoke again.
That's when I got my Tron.
I worked so goddamn hard to quit smoking in the first place.
That's when everybody got everything I bought.
Yeah.
Hey, if you don't take this, Melina's gonna throw it away. So
this is like extortion for people to take back their stuff.
No, I had it. She's like, oh, we should go through your office and throw all that stuff away.
That really appealed. Those books are signed. That's harder to buy back.
My filing cabinet. Well, do
you
we
have a filing cabinet for?
Yeah, my tax doctor.
You keep paper?
Yeah. This is what she wants to go through and scan and get rid of
papers.
Well, yeah. That's what
well,
you
yeah,
do.
Well, yeah. I don't know how long that's going to take me to do.
That's why you do it as you do it. Done.
Why don't all my current stuff
bam
forward is done that way, but all my taxes going back to 2000 or whatever.
You know, you can...
You can get rid of that shit after a couple of years. After,
you can, what, 5 or 7 years?
7 years.
7 years. If it's older than 7 years, throw it out. It's not relevant.
Man, I got stuff older than 7 years in my wallet.
That's, you know, you don't have
I'm
to.
I'm pretty sure I still have my Social Security card in my wallet that very clearly says do not laminate, and it's laminate.
Oh, I don't have that. Let's check on my Social Security.
I don't think it goes bad.
I don't think it does either. But mine's off. It's like ripped and frayed and almost unreadable.
Well, the second they say I can't use it anymore, that's the point at which I'll get a new one. Until then,
when my buddy was like 17, he needed to get a new Social Security card, so he filled out all the information, and something happened either in the process of filling out the paperwork and then printing it, and like the last digit of the year of his birth got dropped or was different, so he just changed it by 2 years. Then went to the license bureau to the DMV to get a new driver's license because he had recently moved. Like, all right, we need your old one. Don't have a copy of it, but here's my Social Security card. So at the age of like 17, he was 2 years older. So by the time 19 rolls around, he starts drinking. Wow. He starts working at a bar. He had been working at this bar for over a year, and he and I went there for his actual 21st birthday. We're like, all right, 21st birthday, let's get this man some drinks. No, you've been working here for a year. Yep. He got so sick that night. All right, Fargo.
Yeah.
Don't you know?
A very strange movie, but surprisingly enjoyable. Yeah. It had a funny looking guy in it.
I remembered this movie being quirkier than it was.
Yes.
I think it was quirky at the time. Like, I
that's just exposure, though.
I think I hadn't seen anything quite that quirky before, like as a mainstream thing. And now it's just a little more common to see that style of humor.
Mm-hmm. This was the first time I saw the movie, so this was not, I was like expecting much more.
Like, I've seen the first episode of the new TV series, which was kind of why we decided to do this movie. It was just because I'd seen the first episode and thought, man, it's been a while since I've seen the movie, so I'm going to watch it again. And I kind of feel like the TV show, like, is better at everything. No. At everything it does, it's just better. It's got Saul, it's got Bilbo, it's got...
Bilbo.
Billy Bob. It's got Bad Santa.
Tom Hanks' kid.
She's like a shit right for a week.
Oh my god.
Tom Hanks is freakish looking. Something weird looking about that guy. And I don't like it.
You mean the fact that he looks like Tom Hanks?
Yeah.
But it's just a little bit off. Yeah, it's a little bit off. It's like
the proportions are not right. It's
alternate like universe Tom Hanks.
Badly cropped picture of Tom Hanks.
Somebody photoshopped that wrong.
Like they stretched it too tall, but they left the width. So
and they like they dragged the jaws out just a little bit.
Just enough to be noticeable.
Yeah, I just felt like after seeing the first episode of the TV show, it just felt like the jokes hit more solidly. The acting was better. But I think the movie was playing that more for effect. I think like the accents were terrible on purpose.
Oh, they most definitely
like,
are.
Especially the first time you hear William H. Macy talk, it's like, oh yeah. My god, that is a terrible accent.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
doing
I'm
that
to
on purpose.
To this for the rest of the movie. Oh wait, oh Christ, he's gonna keep talking.
Yeah.
But that's all, you know, dramatic for effect because people up there don't really talk like that.
I kind of feel like they do.
It's not quite that bad.
That sounds bullshit. Yeah.
Maybe. Road trip, let's find out.
I got nothing going on.
Let's
tomorrow.
Go.
All right. My parents want to go to Springfield this weekend. I don't want to go, so.
Oh.
Not driving down to Springfield on my brother's birthday. He wants to have a birthday party where we show up. He can move back to St. Louis.
Is it a special birthday? Is it like his 30th
no,
or
he's
anything?
No, he's 26. That's not how birthday? That's
no.
A special birthday?
It's really not.
You live on a college campus. There's your present.
You're two Get times a teenager. What?
Yeah, they're going down there 2 weeks to help them move back. Really bizarre thing.
All right. So, what else? Anything else you got to say about
this? This is the first time I've seen this movie. It was kind of struck by the fact that.
So So this is the first time for you two. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. This is my second time seeing it.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen it, maybe 10 times. I've seen it that's maybe an exaggeration, but I've seen it a lot.
I maybe have seen it 2 or 3 times.
So but. here's a question. Was the wood chipper a shock to you when you saw it the first time?
Yes.
Like, was that a thing?
No.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's not
I thought it was anymore. Amusing.
No. Well, it's now it's kind of a
like I've seen cultural... bodies dissolved in bathtubs and then all sorts of other weird bodies.
No. Being I don't think the wood chipper itself was. I think the
it's in a museum the foot, up in northern the Minnesota.
Foot sticking out of it yeah, was well, hilarious.
It became, I think it became kind of like a cultural meme of something terrible happening.
The slowest, like the pre-internet days, we got the worst.
So it's like a reference. You could, I'm sure it's somewhere in The Simpsons is referenced, and then it became like a joke elsewhere. So it's like if you see it now and you haven't seen it before, you're not going to catch the impact because it's out there and
to
you've
be
seen
fair,
it
this
before.
Wasn't pre-internet.
It was pre-96. The internet for me was just—I've lived my life longer with the internet than I have without it.
Mm-hmm. I have too, barely, but unless I count going on the bulletin boards, which
was much. Oh, are so good.
I did
Walking's
that.
Walking's Eye.
I don't even remember which one I was on. It's been forever ago.
Creating fake BBS news returns.
I remember getting in trouble because I was using the modem to tie up the one phone line we had in the house, and my dad got a flat tire or something and had to walk miles to get to someplace. Man, he was pissed when he got home.
Yeah, we got a second one. Glorious. Then the porn flowed.
Flowed.
Wow. Yeah. Downloaded very slowly.
Yeah, 14.4.
That's right. Quarter inch by quarter inch over the period of 6 minutes is worth it, Daryl.
Mid-90s porn taught me patience.
lots
of patience.
It's the only reason I'm not a premature ejaculator.
Yes.
Man, this is going to be so awesome in 5 minutes. These young kids, they don't know what's going on.
That's a true fact.
Yes, all these kids with their 30 meg/s download speeds.
Right. Kids speeds.
Terabytes of instantaneous
video.
Pornography.
What's that about?
Yeah, video.
7 videos going at once. God damn it. Too many breasts.
Man, if you were downloading 3 pictures at once, you might as well just walk away and make a sandwich first.
Yeah.
Steakums.
Oh, God, Steakums are so good. God damn, I Steakums.
Mm. Steakums and eggs. Fry up some eggs and some Steakums.
The French guy in this movie is the guy who played Satan in the Constantine movie.
Yes.
And he was really good at Satan.
He's played a number of bad guys in a number of movies. I can't name any of them.
Hey,
at the moment.
The Big Lebowski?
Did you follow me were you reading my tweets that I was posting after I watched the movie on Sunday?
I saw a few of them. I don't remember.
The Sherlock Holmes thing?
Yeah, I did see that.
So I am damn convinced that the ending conversation between What's-Her-Face,
Sheriff Maggie, and her
husband,
and
the French guy,
is
an homage to Jeremy Brett's last lines that he speaks to Sherlock.
Maybe.
That was a video I made.
I didn't watch the video.
Oh,
so.
Bullshit, Tony!
Well, you didn't tell me to do that.
Well, I posted the link. I don't know what else I have to do. It's good. It's fantastic. It's difficult to actually talk about without everybody.
I know you're a big fan.
I am. I'd give Jeremy a handy.
Well, why is that stopping you?
I don't know where he's buried.
That's fair.
I don't think it's on this continent.
So
also, grave robbing is illegal. And it would be difficult for me to explain.
Would that
only
be
if
grave
you get
robbing?
Caught. Only if you get caught.
Would you be robbing?
Feel like
if you take it with you to do it, then
I feel
it's
like the
robbing.
Technicalities of what I'm doing would probably not matter.
I think desecration of a corpse is probably a bigger concern.
I don't know if it's illegal or not.
I don't know about there.
I just imagine England, pretty much it's a lawless country. Pretty much everything goes there
except guns.
What's up with that? I'm fine with that.
I figure we've taken away their guns. Really, what else can they do to each other?
Stab each other with knives.
Yeah, they do some of that.
Yeah, but you gotta get close for that.
It doesn't seem to stop them.
But their knives can't really be all that sharp. I mean, have you eaten their food? Isn't it like all boiled and just mushy?
They've had enough Indian influence now that they're actually, it's upgrading.
Yeah, that's getting racist.
Actually put spice in it.
Mushy spice. Is that what the Spice Girls are all about? The Indian influence?
Mm-hmm. No, they're about girl power.
Girl power?
Wait, is that what you're supposed to get out of that? Because that is not what I wanted.
Clearly you were not paying attention.
Into the direction.
Shock.
Scary Spice wanted it bad.
That's why she's scary.
I don't think that when you just didn't say anything.
When they want it bad.
That just seems really...
Again, not scary.
It's unless they're using their not-so-sharp knives to come after you.
Yes.
I don't know.
Give it to me.
I don't know.
I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
I don't know how you would solicit sex from a man with a knife. Like, I don't know how that works.
Come here, baby.
That.
Give it to me.
Make it do this.
Let me cut you. Just a little bit.
I don't know that the knife is a key factor. Like, can you threaten me into this? Like, how does that work?
Fear boners.
You have a sharp stone.
It's not as good as a murder boner. A war boner. The war doctor.
Oh.
Oh, so how did we get off on that topic?
We're
talking about Fargo.
I feel like it's germane to the discussion.
You want to come back to Fargo?
This is how the movie went.
Fear boners?
Yeah, kind of. Everywhere Steve Buscemi went, he was afraid and banging hookers.
Hookers with bad accents. And big hair.
Yeah, well, this was supposed to take place in, what, 87?
87. So. Yeah. That's, I forgot about that piece.
Yeah.
I do like how that opening title card where it says this is a true story,
mm-hmm.
and the names of the survivors have been changed out of respect for the dead or something like that.
Right.
That exact same title card starts off the TV show.
Yeah, I noticed that as well.
And then at the very end of the movie, at the end credits, all characters are fictitious.
Yeah.
It's just based on a thing that happened.
It's based on a couple of incidents that happened, but...
I'm fine with it.
I've never really appreciated Frances McDormand. Is that how you say her name?
Mm-hmm.
Until this movie, or since this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
I pull out my phone.
I'm trying to think of anything else that I've seen her in that I can remember and pull off the top of my head.
Can you beat me?
I mean, you can just start with any... Coen Brothers movies.
Mississippi Burning.
Blood Almost Simple. Have any of you seen Blood Simple? Because she's fantastic in that. Well, I mean, I love Blood Simple.
I don't know.
Simple.
It's the first movie that Coen Brothers.
Transformers Dark of the Moon.
Yeah.
Blood Simple.
How could you not? Simple.
Aeon Flux.
Mm-hmm.
Did she catch flies with her eyelashes?
Because
I remember that.
That cartoon was really good. That movie was terrible.
I didn't see the movie. The cartoon was really good.
Yes, spare yourself the movie.
The movie was terrible.
She was in The Man Who Wasn't There also, which is one we reviewed too.
Again, also a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was hearing a movie with Bo Bridges. That guy sucks so bad.
Bo Bridges needs to be relegated to like small town mayor roles.
According to
not working to making things.
He used to be relegated to,
what is it?
My brother's more famous, so they're going to get me instead to see if they can leverage me into getting my brother in his movie.
Oh, God. He showed up in Stargate. Like when they replaced all the Stargate actors with Farscape people. Like, that happened all at the same time. It's like, God, this is
Bo Bridges is way better than, like, Daniel Baldwin showing up.
Well, yeah.
That was Daniel Baldwin.
The super cut rate Baldwin.
Super cut rate?
Yeah.
Oh, from
I don't know what
Usual Suspect. Wasn't that the last one he was in? No.
No.
No, that was...
That was Steven.
Steven.
That was Steven.
That was middle
he's
tier.
He's more cut rate. Right. Yeah, he's there's... more cut rate than Steven Baldwin, if such a thing is possible.
Well, IMDb,
if you saw his picture, you would recognize, you'd be like, oh, that, the super cut rate Baldwin.
And then there's the other Baldwin who's not a Baldwin.
I typed in Daniel Baldwin to the search.
Yeah.
And it showed me David Brühl first. And I did not misspell Baldwin. So even when you search for his name exactly, he does not come up.
Google knows that you're really not searching for him.
What's going on with his face?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Luke's face. Luke is Daniel Baldwin. Oh, and that's anyway. Not age either. Even that old picture that's... Oh, man. Vampires. Oh, this is depressing. This guy's still working.
Yeah. It's like him or
comes cheap
or Kevin Dillon or what's
Donnie that? Wahlberg?
Donnie Wahlberg's not terrible. He's not.
He's still he's the not, cut rate Wahlberg.
He is
though.
The cut rate Wahlberg, with the exception of Sixth Sense, because I don't think Marky Mark could have pulled off Sixth Sense. He was awesome in that.
I've never heard of most of these movies.
Let's see. There was also what's his name that. The lesser Swayze brother. That guy looks like his brother, but not. Like, he's like the evil version of his brother.
Don Swayze.
And Frank Stallone.
Oh, of course.
What is happening?
Yeah, see? He's like the evil version of his brother. Look at that guy.
Goatee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Then there's Frank Stallone.
Yeah, this is the best episode we've
ever Yeah, done. Well, Frank Stallone looks like... Sylvester, but his face isn't fucked up, so... And he talks normally, which is really alarming.
I don't know about that.
Well, he doesn't have that facial defect that his brother has.
That... His face?
Yeah.
Well, he's got nerve damage on his face.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, that's why he talks like that. That's why he has the...
like that.
That's why he has that lazy kind of sound, and why when he opens his mouth, one side of his mouth droops, is because he's got nerve damage on the side of his face.
I really can't talk.
Well, now you know. That's why he sounds the way he does.
My apathy towards this guy is just insensitive.
Yeah.
Trivia, did you know that Frank Stallone is a bachelor?
No.
Shocking. Shocking.
Trivia. Is that still accurate? That's like a trivia night category. Let's go. Like a trivia night category. Single or not?
Oh, God.
Let's go drive out there and find out.
Alive or dead. It's always one of the most fun ones, because then you hear about all the people who are like, damn, I thought that person's been dead for years.
No, I'm pretty sure yeah. Patrick Swayze was dead.
He is.
Oh, well, then I was right.
Yes, he's been dead for a couple of years.
Then I
did have a category once, dead or Canadian. That was pretty interesting.
That is good.
Yeah. So, yeah, anybody want to talk about Fargo some more? I could talk about this movie for hours, just because it's one of my favorite movies of all time.
What do you find so favorite about it?
Good question.
First off,
with her own questions.
Other than the fact, it's one of the more iconic Coen brother movies.
Right, right. And I do love the Coens. Something wrong.
Tone Adams set up the microphone.
Your microphone's been off the entire
time. No.
I haven't said anything worthwhile. It's fine.
It's true. So
we'll hopefully it picks you up on the other mics. We'll see.
So I did see, or when I was in college, I took a Coen Brothers class.
What?
I did.
Man, I gotta go to college. No, wait. No, I did that. No, never mind. No, it sucks.
I mean, I went
twice
to,
even.
I went yeah, to, yeah. You know, state school, so it's all good. It was one credit hour. But anyway,
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, go continue.
Right. So I'll one of the things later. We talked about was the movie Fargo and kind of how the Coen Brothers make movies. And, I like... One of their approaches, the approach of the black comedy is, I just naturally just love black comedies in general. But I also really like when you can be so cartoonish and so gruesome at the same time. Also really, really compelling female characters, which, you know, frankly, I'm drawn into movies like that.
Sexist.
I
don't got nothing.
Nothing about that. Sexist. Come on.
It's just your pregnancy fetish.
Right.
Does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
I don't think.
Yes,
no.
It does.
No, because the two, she does.
Margie they talk does, about they talk about that guy.
Yeah, they talk about a man, so it doesn't technically pass the Bechdel test.
Which is stupid. I'm throwing it out here on a recording.
I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense because it's a telling way to say overall how movies are have just a huge bias against female characters because we make up half the population, but less than 30% of all movie characters. That's kind of bullshit. And then when we do get into movies, we don't talk to other women. I mean, that seems kind of bullshit too. And then when we do talk to other women, we don't get to say plot points. We get to talk about men. And that's kind of bullshit too.
Listen, we gave you Natalie Portman and Kat Dennings. Okay, can you please take that and go away? She was even a scientist. She did math.
She wasn't the main character in that movie.
Well, no, she wasn't the title character. It wasn't whatever her name was. It was Thor.
Jane Foster.
There it is. Foster 2, The Dark World. Although it was kind of Foster 2, The Dark World. Mm-hmm. She was also kind of the antagonist.
Yeah, none of this.
No, I understand.
None of this. Yeah. So anyway, so in that way, if you take a broad spectrum of movies, the Bechdel test I think is very valuable because it does show
it's not
a hugely inherent. No. It's not because like
because if you have a strong females. female female character that plays against a male cast,
yeah,
that movie doesn't pass.
Yeah, that's one Alien, character against the rest of the cast.
Alien doesn't pass. That's dumb.
What's dumb is that how often movies like this
Aliens passes.
Don't have other women. Like, why would Does other it? Women not be involved? Oh, yeah, involved? I guess
between her and Newt.
Yeah.
I mean, you can kind of discount the movies where it doesn't make sense to have female characters. You shouldn't put female characters in Saving Private Ryan, probably, because they just... There's not going to be any place in it because it's historical and et cetera, et cetera. But if you're just making movies about fictional situations that are set in a certain time period, the inherent bias to always have male characters that are both leading and villains, and then also saying that female-led movies can't make money, which is what people have been saying for years. Like, we're not going to put money to finance female-led movies because somehow they're just not going to make any money. That bias has been
Except
going on
that,
for a long time.
I keep hearing people say that, but I don't hear anybody who's making movies say that.
How many people do you listen to who make movies?
Yeah.
Well, because we keep getting movies with female-led...
Well, Tone, also... Let's take this back a second. So there's a predominant race in movies, but you don't really hear anybody saying, yeah, we don't really want to make black movies. There's a reason they don't say that, because that's racist.
Right.
Now, if they don't make black movies, but they just don't say they don't make black movies, then they're not racist.
But they do make black movies, and they play to predominantly black audiences.
But the quantity of black movies is not the same as the quantity of white movies.
No.
Which, arguably, right, there's race distribution there.
Yeah, it's because it's a funding issue. Because the way to get your movie into more homes and to see in front of more eyeballs is to put major studio money behind it. And major studio money is going to say, if you come up with a female-led script or a female director... Or, you know, something with a particularly female bent, they're going to say, well, this is, you know, nobody's going to see this, so we're not going to put money behind it. Which happened with, there was a movie starring, or written by Casey Wilson and June Diane Raphael. And I heard them talking about it called, it was about beauty pageants. Anyway, so they had tried to make this, so they wrote this movie, they tried to make it for years, and essentially it became one of those things where we have to self-fund it, you know, like, scrape together money to make this movie. It's a small movie, but you can't.
Max out credit cards.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, probably not. But, I mean, they probably had somebody who was willing to throw some money that way. But still, it's one of those situations where it's like, you know, a dumb comedy, even just getting a couple million dollars from a Hollywood studio is going to be nearly impossible. And one of the arguments they kept making was, oh, well, wait, so it's two women are the main characters? So where are the men? You know, that's the general that's going to be the general attitude a lot of times. And that, I mean, it sucks because it's obviously not true, because you can point to examples of female-led movies that are still very successful. So the argument doesn't hold up, and yet there's still that bias there.
But I still don't see the validity of the Bechdel test in that. The Bechdel test doesn't give us, it's
like any other indicator.
Don't know
it's a false
how to
indicator.
Write women. It's and a false so indicator. So they don't. So we that, make up half the population, and yet we're not half of the characters in movies. That's inherent bias.
No,
right
here's
there.
The thing. It's just like any other indicator. It's only going to tell you what it's going to tell you.
Right.
Right. So if it tells you, okay, so 70% of these movies don't even have two female characters who at any point talk about something other than a man, that's. All right, that's kind of stilted. But then if you start picking apart every movie, it's not a micro indicator. It's a macro indicator.
But even as a macro indicator, it's not good.
Wait, what?
If you have a story about a female character or a couple female characters, but they talk about men as part and parcel of their of every conversation they have, it fails. And that's what makes it a bullshit indicator. When you have movies with strong female characters,
I don't feel like that is true. If your female characters, when they talk, only talk about other dudes in the cast, aren't they really your strong female characters?
But it's not even other
or
dudes.
Are they
in the
way
cast?
Of delivering
not,
plot
they're,
for
they're
the
accessories.
Men?
They become accessories to men. That's
they just
a
become
lot of
shitty exposition.
Become. So if you have a movie like, if you put a movie in front of me like. Knocked Up, where we have two female characters that have these comedic dialogues back and forth.
Who's the second one?
That movie was so bad.
I don't know.
Knocked Up was fine, Tony.
I did not like that
movie. So basically you have two female characters that are having conversations with each other that you would see two men having in any kind of comedy movie. So dumb conversations about, like, you know, this is what Oprah says, or, you know, they make whatever jokes about each other. So you can have women have these conversations with each other. You can have them have conversations that move plot points. It's not like it's impossible to have two women say to each other things that aren't like, well, let's talk about your husband/boyfriend/love interest, which is what most women in movies are doing. And then at that point, it sort of becomes the female character just becomes an accessory for the man. She's not an independent person because she's not written as somebody who has independent thoughts and feelings. And so in that way, I think that it makes a difference. It's important.
I still don't see.
And then in your example of Alien, so the, Ripley. So,
Ripley is a strong female character.
Ripley is an incredibly strong female character. However, why would none of the other crew members be female?
Well, that's not true.
There are other female crew members.
Wait, does Alien not?
Alien has another one.
No. Who? So,
there was another female. She's a scientist. She's a doctor.
Yeah.
Are you sure that doesn't pass?
Pretty sure.
God damn, Tony, pull my goddamn phone again.
I'm pretty sure it does it best.
Oh, look, and there's Stephen Baldwin. Fantastic. Does Alien pass the Daryl test?
I think there is actually a site where you can go see the Bechdel test.
Yeah, I got that bookmarked.
Just saying. You can Google it.
It does not.
I didn't think so. Because I think the only conversation they have is regards the guy who got the face hugger. I don't think it's a scene exclusively between the two. I think it's
and this is what
scene.
I'm saying. In every scenario, I think that it's not going to be relevant.
Right.
In every scenario.
Right.
But it's certainly telling
you says,
over 1,000 movies, if we use that as a, well, 70% of these movies pass this basic test, I think that is telling as an indicator.
Yeah.
Except pointing to any one movie and saying, And making a judgment on it based on does it pass the Bechdel test is bullshit.
I don't do that.
Well, you may say that in any individual movie, if it doesn't pass the Bechdel test, you know, I'm not going to say that.
I mean, that's what the joke is based on, because it's all a joke. The Bechdel test is born of a joke.
Yeah, but it's also become a way to say I'm super fucking pissed off that I don't get to see myself in movies. I get to see other women who don't have any depth or, you know, significant plot points behind them. And that's most movies with female characters.
And yeah, and I don't get to see
females at all.
I don't get to see myself in many movies either. Because dudes. You know what? Fathers are treated like morons in most movies. Most movies and television and advertising treats fathers as morons. They treat them as either unsympathetic, detached, or just generally not knowing what's going on in the household, that the entire household is run by the mom, that the dad does little to nothing, doesn't know what's going on and with the children.
Well, my house, that's true. I don't do shit for those cats.
and it's bullshit. But it plays to the female audience.
But I think that's more of a, I mean, I would say it's probably more of a comedy thing, though.
Doesn't make it right.
Does it make it hurt less?
No, it doesn't make it hurt less. Mm. I'm still crying inside.
I feel like this experience should make you more sympathetic, then.
No, it makes me less sympathetic.
I feel like that's the wrong response.
It's not my bridge to die on. I've got my own bridge to die on.
I feel like if everybody's on the same bridge.
But we're not. We all have our own bridges. And they're all blowing up around us.
And this is why I'm all about getting over it when people goddamn die. This right here. Let's all be on different crosses and we can have cross fights about whose cross is bigger. And then we can
cross jousting.
TP about it.
We can decorate our cross with spikes. We can charge at each other. We need big ass helmets.
I'll one up you, Tony. I think it's a numbers game. There's more women than fathers.
Yeah.
There are. Statistically more women than men on the planet.
Then I specifically said fathers.
Well.
Don't try and adjust my sample populations.
Well, yeah, the there's certainly game, more women than fathers.
The numbers game also applies to what's the movie-going audience. What's the makeup of the movie-going audience that's going to see the movies?
That's a good question.
Who's spending their money on it?
Well, hold on. Are we getting into a business discussion or a
because I mean, discussion? This, see, yeah. the problem is if you take it too far to the business discussion, then it becomes an exercise in sexism or racism or whatever. If you're saying that the black audience is smaller, therefore there are less movies with a predominantly black cast, well, that may or may not be true, but to make that argument.
I am also not a fan of targeting your story to appeal to an audience.
Yeah.
Your argument should be humanity.
But you know what? Is when you target those movies to an audience with an extremely low budget movie, those movies make incredible bank. Like Tyler Perry, that guy is loaded.
Yeah.
You've got Tyler Perry as an example. You've got like this rash of Christian themed movies, which are a great example because man, how often do you see...
I got a blind spot for that, Tony. I don't even know what you're talking about. Like, legitimately do not know what you're talking about.
There are movies that are specifically Christian-themed. They are targeted, and they are advertised predominantly to churches. And they get church audiences. Like, there was one...
Shaun's Theater gets a lot of those.
There was one that was just released. It's Heaven something.
Heaven is real, or Heaven is for Real.
Heaven is for Real, I think, is one of them. There's,
this they were exists?
Ever, yeah, yes. there was even a TV commercial for it.
There are several and what's movies funny starring with that Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, that guy.
He was in a movie.
The Atheist's Nightmare.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a year or two ago, he was in a movie, and I can't remember what it's called because it's not important, and I wouldn't want to advertise it anyway.
There was a
firefighter movie.
I thought it was a cop movie. Maybe it was a firefighter.
It was a firefighter movie. I mean, there's been several of the different types, but yeah, so they make these super cheap. They only advertise, or they predominantly advertise just to churches and Christian groups.
Or what I saw recently they advertise them on TV, but they say group sales available, contact your theater. Yeah. And it's like, you don't see that on a television movie commercial.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah.
You see the Cards Against Humanity guys are renting out a theater in Chicago and showing a bunch of the tabletop?
No.
Deathmatch stuff?
Interesting.
It's not that hard to do. Renting a theater.
Well, don't you just have the inside track on movie theaters?
Yeah, I've contacted theaters and they won't tell you how to do it.
You contacted the wrong one.
Apparently.
Because
I keep trying. I've tried on a couple of
occasions. I know a guy you can contact, probably.
Probably, yeah. I should probably.
I know a guy.
I'm going to steal your connection.
I know a guy.
No, I know him first.
For sure, I know him first.
Much later, but first.
Probably, maybe less intimately. Maybe.
I feel like we broed out over that movie. I can't remember that he came out here and talked to us about. We talked about fantasy football. I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
But yeah, there are these movies that are made super, super cheap.
Yeah.
Like million to $3 million budget. And they make 10, 15 million, which isn't much, but the profit is incredible.
Yeah, well, I've seen reality TV, Tony. I understand that making movies and TV shows is a business, but those are shitty shows that I don't want to watch.
Right.
Yeah, but they're not
except
for
Naked and Afraid, because that movie they make on a shoestring budget. But I will watch that shit constantly.
Yep.
I love seeing naked people getting hurt.
Walking on shit, tearing up their feet.
And you know the episode's going to go poorly when, like, the guys in the boat or the helicopter... Or whatever.
I got a leech on my scrotum.
Before he even gets there, he's like, you know, the male body has certain reactions when it sees a naked female. I'm like,
always the best.
You are not starting off well. Like, you have not even met the other person yet.
I hope I don't get a boner.
Yeah, and you are worrying about the wrong... You're going to be alone and naked for 21 days in the wilderness, buddy.
You need
to focus on something else.
What I love is how the way they say it too, it makes them they take like 30 seconds to basically say, "I hope I don't get a boner when I see this naked chick."
Yeah, really weird.
I hope she doesn't want to cuddle with me because something might happen.
Yeah, well, I talked this over with my wife beforehand. Where do you think you're going?
Yeah,
someplace
Madagascar. Like,
I promised my wife. There wouldn't be any cuddling, even if it required it. And it's like it gets down to like 40 degrees at night.
Yeah, it's like you're going to Madagascar. The risk of death is real. Maybe you focus on something else for 21 days.
Yeah. Ugh. And I don't think these people even really get like a prize. I think it's just bragging rights.
Oh, I'd do it for bragging rights.
Oh yeah, I would too. I'm not.
Not even like a case of rice aroni or something. You don't even get that at the end.
Well, I would bet they get paid some kind of
stipend. I'm sure they get paid something.
Yeah. A
couple grand, but it's for 21 days. And like at the end of the episode, they're like, "During the 21 days, this guy lost 25 pounds."
Well, see, I do it right for that.
Good God,
that would be a nice side bonus.
But then they like show pictures each day. These people just look wrecked after 21 days of eating nothing.
That's a hard one.
And the best part is isn't even the surviving the 21 days. It's like after surviving 21 days, then they have to take like a 5-mile trek, leaving the base camp that they've built over 3 weeks. Now you have to pack up all your shit and go.
Yeah, swim to this crocodile-infested lake.
What happens if they don't make it? Well, they never not make it.
Well, five miles is not that. 5 miles.
But it's
not.
But
after 21 days,
after 21 days being wrecked. Some of these people have literally not eaten.
Yeah, and you know what's weird? Like, so the show is an hour long. And so they've got video from 21 days that they kind of splice together into a narrative. Like, I never see these people doing anything for the 21 days. Like, there's a lot of them laying around and not doing anything. 3 days have passed and they haven't built a shelter. What are people doing for 3 days?
Like,
serving energy.
If I don't have the internet...
If you're not moving, you're not burning calories.
I know. If I didn't have the internet, man, I would get so much shit done. I'd built an ecosystem out there, like an economy. We'd be trading with the ants for shit for the birds. Get some snake meat.
I like watching those guys when I have to tap out.
Yeah.
You know, my wife said that if my life was in danger, I should tap out. Hey, asshole. Your life's been in danger the whole time. So...
I saw that boat you rode out here on.
Yeah.
That thing didn't look safe to begin with.
Yeah, no shit. That one chick, the dude tapped out like day 16. That one chick stayed for the next 5 days and then finished it by herself. Oh, Christ.
Yeah, I love how almost across the board, the men have a higher PSR than the women do. And almost across the board. Yeah,
the men are always the weak link.
Yeah. Yeah. The women almost always advance more than the men do, like, or surpass them by the end of it.
Yeah.
There was one of them I actually saw where the woman had a higher PSR than the man did to start. And then she just continued to kick ass. Yeah, it was one time. It was an old episode.
Was it that one where the guy was a recovering alcoholic?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I've only seen... Yeah, you know what? I think you're right. I think I've only seen it where the woman's PSR was once, but it's like always the man is the weak link.
Yeah.
Almost universally.
And really, the only time the woman appears to be a weak link is at the beginning where she's like, yeah, I really don't want to kill anything. I want to, like, commune with nature, and, you know, everybody's got a place. That chick was awesome, because, like, day three, kill those little bastards. Yeah. I want to eat. Yeah. I want a safe place to sleep. You burn the shit. Hey, do you want to burn those spiders out? Yes, give me that torch. I'm going to burn them out.
No, that chick was awesome.
She was great.
I was wondering, because Melina brought that up, too. She was like, the men are always the weak link in here. I'm like, I wonder if that's biologically... If there's a biological reason for that, because like women retain more water than men, so they have more water longer than men. Because like the men seem to crack like pretty goddamn quickly.
It also depends. They tend to get men who are in male dominant
selection bias. It's probably
a little bit of both because they do tend to get a lot of ex-military and guys who are in male-dominated fields, so they have there's a lot of dude bros. Yeah, there are a number of dude bros and a lot of I need to protect this woman kind of mentality.
Wait, why does that lead to the man cracking?
Because he doesn't do that. He's not focused on the right things. He's not worried about just surviving and getting through this as a team, which is what you should do. There's a lot of ego and machismo involved in it.
Yeah, that's not necessarily good for decision making. Because it seems like, and I've never
talking to the
show.
Only Hispanic at the table. Trust me, machismo is the perfect ingredient for a good decision.
But what about tacos?
What about tacos?
Don't you put machismo in your taco?
No, Tony, it's not semen. You don't put it in food.
Wait.
Yeah. Yeah, Tony.
Let's put that together. Let's unpack that.
No, let's unpack this.
Yeah, there's... I think a lot of it has to go with the selection process, too.
The kind of person that would apply for this
Well,
show.
It's, also... It's that, but they also tend to pair people with differing personalities. They don't team people up well. They pick people so that... They build some conflict.
It's a reality TV.
Sure,
they
yeah.
build a conflict.
If you were going to make a show where two people were
in sync and working together, that would be, I mean, it would be awesome for them, but it would be kind of boring to watch.
Right, exactly.
Unless they had some really outstanding obstacles that they were going up against.
Yeah, here's an outstanding obstacle for me. I want to watch the show uncensored, Tony.
Yeah.
They even have Naked and Afraid Uncensored, which is not uncensored.
It's not uncensored. It's After Dark.
I want to watch these naked people survive. I'm tired of this goddamn censored. I want to see dick, Tony.
I want to see the guy. The guy told me that he had a leech on his scrotum.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
I want to watch
him get it off.
I want to watch 21 days of uncensored footage
off of your ball sack.
You pull it.
No, you don't pull them. You gotta like grind them.
See?
I'm serious. You don't and pull you, them off. You gotta like,
have to worry about
the
that.
Last time I ever pulled a leech off myself, I just pulled it off. You've never had leeches?
No.
I've never had a leech on me.
Really?
Never.
Really?
And I live 5 miles away from where I was born.
Really?
I
was
in
never
Scouts.
Like
I've
been swimming in a pond or a stream.
No,
or...
the only
I've
pond
been in
a stream...
lake.
Wait, what leech filled ponds are you going to in Missouri?
We used to go to like streams and swim in springs.
The watering
hole.
I'm only going to one spring in this state. It's on the 11 Point River and it's goddamn cold.
Yeah. I used to go canoeing all the time. Well, I ended up in strange water all the time. And sometimes I get leeches.
Strange water. Sounds like the worst southern city. Yeah, we floated on down to strange water.
It sounds
water.
Like that actually sounds
like
a
I
mercenary
said,
group.
I'm not.
But
really
like,
from around here.
It sounds
so.
Like a supernatural mercenary group.
It does.
Supernatural. Strange water.
It's like the fairy assassination squad. Not an anti-gay.
I know what you meant, yeah. The fae.
Yeah, the Fae.
So yeah, you.
No.
No.
Well, as
no, you're weird.
Ticks, ticks.
Yes,
only...
I have had ticks.
Sure,
I've not had.
That's
leeches.
Yeah, everybody's had ticks. If you haven't had ticks, you're weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I leeches that you just you can usually just pop them off.
Mm. That's not what that guy said, and he had a leech on his scrotum.
No, these may be different. So I'm talking
like,
about.
He seemed like an expert to me.
Missouri
Madagascar, leeches. Madagascar, 8 foot long leeches.
Yeah, I mean.
It's, that's a
maybe
it's
different.
Black
swallowed,
dick. No, that's just the leech that's on my dick.
Yeah.
They bleed for a long time too.
Yeah, that guy was covered in blood
because they have the that stuff in their saliva, the anticoagulant.
Don't you be anticoagulant?
Just saying. I
have read vampire lore. You don't have to make up stuff. Did Holden draw the Dharma Initiative sign over there? Is that what that is?
Where?
On the fridge?
The
one
geometric
that...
thing?
No, it's just a geometric thing that he got at school, and so he just colored it.
So what I'm hearing is that Dharma plagiarized Holden's drawing.
That happened.
That's bullshit, Tony.
Yeah, I'm suing J.J.
Abrams. Yeah,
I'm suing J.J. Abrams. I'm going to get... But I'm going to wait until after he makes the next Star Wars movie so he's got more money to sue.
That's a good call. Melina asked me my opinion on the new Star Wars movies, and I told her I didn't have one because I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will see it.
Yeah,
when I see it, I will have an opinion about it.
I'll reserve my bitching until then, although yeah. I'm quite confident I'll have much to bitch about. Don't go to half gallon of orange juice.
I'm pretty well depleted of all my potassium.
Man, what? What am I supposed to do with that?
Whatever you want, just go for it.
Is there a lot of potassium in orange juice?
Yes, it is. Almost 400 milligrams a serving.
That's a lot. What's that in percentage of what you need a day?
I think about 20%.
Is that what's that?
I've expended about 200% of it.
All right, I'll bite. What did you expend so much potassium doing?
So much sweating.
Yeah, it's an electrolyte.
Yeah.
Keep going. I know you want to. Just keep going.
You sweat so much during yoga class, it pretty well dehydrates you.
Oh,
drank a gallon of water.
but
I did
the...
it right because I sweated out as much as I took in, so my weight didn't change, but all the electrolytes have been depleted.
But that's that sweaty yoga too, right?
Yes, that's hot room yoga.
I've done Wii yoga before. I'm pretty much an expert on yoga, just in general.
You have to turn the heat, you have to turn the heat up.
I've also watched Playboy's Naked Yoga series straight way through. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Huh. I'm not saying I'm opposed to it, but, well, really,
I
say that
on,
and I'm like, the
it depends
first thing
on
is,
who's doing it.
Why did I even say that's a thing?
It's Ron,
of course
it's Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. It's Ron Jeremy. I'm not, I've already seen everything. I guess I might as well watch this guy get into awkward poses.
You know, I met that guy once. That guy is not flexible. I'm just going to go ahead and say he's probably not at all flexible.
If this was anybody else, I'd ask you to prove to me how you knew that. But that guy's,
it's
a,
Ron Jeremy.
That guy's a blob. So I'm pretty sure you, like, I know that and I've never
the
met
reason,
him.
Yeah, the reason that I met him was because he came to our school to give a talk. And
well, he was a teacher.
He was a teacher.
I know. That's why I said
that. He has a master's degree.
I know.
And so he's a pretty smart, I mean, he's a pretty smart guy. He's also really
gross.
Like, everything he says is just kind of greasy. And
everything he touches has a film on it afterwards.
Yeah, yeah, because everything he says is like...
You know, I kind of feel that there's a rightness to the universe knowing that that's how he really is.
That is... totally how he really is. So one of the things that so we were on the committee that brought talent to our college, and so Sean volunteered to pick him up from the airport. So he was in my car. He rode in my car. And then he did a talk and a signing and all this kind of stuff. And so he dressed up in his best sweat shorts to do
his formal sweat shorts.
His former sweat shorts. The one without holes, probably.
Yes, that is he washed them.
Yeah, so that guy is so awesome.
Well, I will
so
be reviewing
his
Super
position. He could only become. He only had two professions open: and become a teacher or become an adult film star.
Why couldn't he do both, Daryl?
I don't know if you've met people, but
they get sort of they get sort of really agitated when you tend to mix certain
really
sacred professions
super
together.
Upset.
Sacred teaching,
you know,
is a sacred
profession,
though.
Being a porn star.
No, I accepted that
yeah,
was
they
a
just
sacred...
like it when you sully the reputations with mere educational things.
But who's going to teach people how to blow loads on people's faces?
I think people learn.
By example.
I think that people just kind of learn that. People need to be,
people need to be taught.
Well, they need to be shown once, and then they can practice it on their own.
Well, Daryl, I've seen many examples. Where was I going with this? Like, I had a direction.
I don't know.
About Ron Jeremy.
Tie it back to Steve Buscemi.
No. We didn't talk about this movie at all.
What else? Saying,
what are you going to do with that?
Add more to it.
He's doing shots.
Yeah, I need some.
You know what I used to do?
I need some vodka right now.
We've got plenty.
Yeah, but I got to drive home. Otherwise, I'd be making screwdrivers out of this.
I would put it into a cup, and then I would put the cup in the freezer, but only until there was like maybe a quarter of an inch of ice on the top, mm-hmm. and then I would drink it, and then it would be super cold and awesome. Little chunks of ice in there. A pro tip for you. What else I liked about this movie? Frances McDormand and her husband didn't hate each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they weren't terrible to one another.
Yep.
That was
really enjoyed
that was odd.
They were a couple.
That was odd. I'll fix some eggs.
There seemed to be a real kind of the theme here. Everyone seemed to repeat their lines over about 20 dozen times.
I just imagine that's the North.
Callback.
Yeah.
God damn it, the North. If it wasn't for the whole anti-slave thing and the South being awful, the South would be where it was at. But the South had slaves, and that's terrible. And it sucks just in general. So that's kind of middle ground we've got here.
So that's why you're just hanging out here.
That's why I'm just hanging out here, even though we're technically a southern state.
You sure about that?
Pretty goddamn sure.
Illinois isn't.
I don't count this state.
It doesn't count.
Oh, misery.
I live here, so.
I'm pretty sure we were a southern state.
No.
No.
That doesn't sound right to me, guys.
Neither Illinois nor Missouri was a southern state.
Perhaps it was just because the group of guys that I was hanging out with that told me that were just really fucking racist.
St. Louis was solidly in the Union camp, but the rest of the state was vacillated between Union and Confederacy.
That sounds to me like a southern
state. Which is exactly like, well, it's exactly like Missouri is today.
So that sounds like a southern state to me.
No,
because St. Louis is not the state.
Yeah, but
St. Louis isn't even St. Louis. St. Louis is the surrounding areas around St. Louis. St. Louis is just a cesspit.
But it was
I hate this place.
At the time, it wasn't, though.
Yeah, that was before the blacks moved in, and then everybody else had to move out.
It was a booming metropolis.
I hate this place.
I can assure you there are many that are worse.
Yeah, well, this is not Detroit, but...
No, we still aren't dealing. We still have functioning sewers.
Does St. Louis have functioning sewers? Mm-hmm. I'd have to go there to prove it.
I'm unwilling to do that.
I got nothing else.
Yep, I think we've exhausted pretty much.
You know what? The movie is the movie. I don't feel like there's really much to discuss.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with this movie. There's not a grand discussable topic. It's a Coen Brothers movie. The acting is good. Because it parodies a way of speaking, the dialect of the North.
But it's also, it's part of the thing that I really like about it is, and the Coen brothers are particularly good at making cartoons of movies. So, being Raising Arizona, but which was essentially just a cartoon movie with live action.
I believe that had one Nicolas Cage in it, right?
Yeah. But it's a...
So a serious drama
yeah.
done right. in the style of Bugs a documentary.
Right, exactly. And that's what this movie was, which is why I found it, which is one of the reasons why it's so funny. Like, I still find it funny. That scene where the sheriff gets called to that guy's house and he's sweeping his driveway and he has that little conversation about, you know, he met that guy at the bar who was over at White Bear Lake and he said he's going crazy out. And then he launches into that thing and then they have that thing where he's like, it looks like the weather is turning even though they're sitting there in their parkas with their heads up. Yeah, it's going to get colder. And, that scene just makes me laugh.
Well, you might as well say, we hear the term the blandry of evil, but we also hear the blandry of everyday life. I mean,
here's the problem with talking about this movie. all of the other Coen Brother movies are more interesting to me
mm-hmm.
than this movie. Like, everything I think they tried to do here, they did better in other movies.
Well, sure.
So I'd rather just talk about those.
Sure. If you throw
like, I think Oh Brother covers a lot of this movie.
Big Lebowski, too. I mean, that's another cult film in itself.
Well, some of us passed out in the middle of Lebowski and have never actually seen the full movie, Daryl.
And see, Coen Brothers are hit and miss for me because
I fell asleep on Luke.
I'm not a fan of Lebowski. This movie is okay. It's there are moments that are funny, but it's not I didn't find myself laughing out loud to it. It's just okay.
Well, and again, it's
better than a lot of what's out there, but comparing it to other Coen Brothers movies, it's not at the top end. Not for
so
me.
So what would you say is their best movie?
Ooh. Oh, I got nothing. I'm curious.
Out of, you know, Blood Simple, Raising Arizona.
I didn't care for Raising Arizona.
Oh, Brother.
No Country for Old Men.
Inside Llewyn Davis, if you saw that.
I have not seen that yet.
But
apparently somebody from that.
Miller's Crossing.
Haven't seen that.
I ate that restaurant the other day. It's on Olive.
Well, the Coen Brothers are kind of unique in the movie-making world. They tend to... They work as a team. They produce. They direct. They write their own stuff.
Right.
And by and large, they're a very successful team at doing that.
I liked Barton Fink.
Yeah.
And you don't see many director teams out there that are related. You think siblings tend to be terribly competitive. But these two tend to dovetail each other very nicely.
That one surprised me. Barton Fink. Barton Fink surprised me. I like it. I really liked it.
And that one was one that they wrote. And Barton Fink was one that they half wrote during the writer block period of Fargo.
A big part of that movie spoke about writer's block.
Mm-hmm.
Barton Fink.
Right.
Well, yeah, because that was one of the things. Well, they also...
And I'm not going to say Barton Fink is bad.
It's strange.
You better not.
It's not my favorite.
My dad will be up your dad.
Because I would say, you know, to me, my favorite Coen Brothers movie of all the ones, and I like them, most of them, one or two, seven. But to me, my favorite is Fargo, by far.
Oh, Brother is my favorite, but only because it reminds me of Luke.
Cudsucker Proxy.
Most
another weird, very strange movie.
Yeah.
Just about everything that, God damn it, was it Barton Fink?
John Turturro? John Goodman?
John Goodman. Everything John Goodman does reminds me of Luke.
And also, you know, people forget they also did the remake of True Grit, which is one we reviewed, and actually, it's a better movie.
2 minutes ago.
Than the original.
Than
True
the
Grit?
Someone the, yeah.
Ooh.
The John Wayne True Grit. I don't know. I like the John Wayne True Grit.
Let's put it this way.
It's a way different movie. Though.
Yeah, but the thing is, most remakes don't do the original justice. This one did.
That's the problem with doing remakes, though.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, if you're going to do a remake, you should really just remake a shitty movie. Don't try to remake a good movie.
Listen, RoboCop needed to be remade.
You sure about that?
No, I didn't even see it. It did not. It was
original,
a classic.
The original
sucked.
Solid. The original's good.
The original's work of genius.
Slider Syndrome. I don't want to hear it from you guys.
I watched it just 2 months ago.
Yeah. That,
and it's
still
good.
You should know, Tony. You're better than this.
It's still good.
Tony.
Can't go back. The light of death.
Tony can't go back. Can't go back. I've learned that. My 50 years on this earth. I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of great dick jokes on Twitter now that I'm not on it all the time.
I kind of stopped going on it for
so
about
I ruined
6 months.
It for you. That's cool.
For about 6 months, I was off Twitter. I've started creeping back on. And then I see reasons why I'm glad that I was gone.
Man, you are a racist dude, Tony.
You know, you can unfollow people.
It's mostly just that there are so many people that feel so compelled to be so upset about things that I just can't get worked up about.
You're just following the wrong people.
But, I just don't care.
But then you...
So you
Luke has the same problem,
people.
But then you get upset about them getting upset, which is like...
I don't
to
get
me,
upset.
Worse just, than them getting upset.
I don't get upset. I just like I'm done with this. I don't care. So I walk away. So that's why
you can just say you miss me. It's all right. Like, there's no.
You didn't comment. You didn't comment on my tweet today.
Which one?
The one tweet I had today.
I wish better in the back a happy birthday.
Did you?
Yeah. Hey, at better in the back, 8 years looks good on you.
Are you going to vote for Francis?
I don't think I can.
I'm not registered to vote, so I know I can't.
It's the wrong state. So I don't have any voting rights in that state or
neither municipality.
Wait, is that coming up soon?
I don't know.
I'm
I don't even know how election cycles work.
Jesus.
Francis. He's running for county collector?
I think that's it.
I don't know what that is, but apparently it's an electable office, and I don't know if he's, like, seriously running for it or just running for it because he can, but, like, his campaign picture is him in, like, a military uniform.
What?
It's pretty ridiculous. But with Francis, though, he doesn't have a lot of pictures where he's not militarying it up in some fashion.
Is he in the military?
He was.
Is he?
I don't know, he's probably active reserve.
Listen, you never really leave the military.
I think he might be active reserve because of being having just gotten out.
I think my brother's finally done.
Oh yeah, good.
I think
I don't know.
He told me when we were going to the trivia night that he was skipping drill for the last time.
So. Yeah, when you're like, yeah, he can't make it because of drill. And it's like, oh, never mind. He's showing up. What?
And he's like, yeah, there's no punishment for not going.
Oh. Okay.
Why would you ever go then? I gotta turn on my stuff. Oh. All right. I don't feel like the story makes sense.
Does the Black Lung podcast still exist? I feel like we should leak that to his competitor. Wasn't that what it was called?
It was.
Was it like two or three episodes?
I take meticulous backups, Tony. I'm sure I've got it somewhere.
Francis did a solo podcast of him trying to quit smoking. I think it lasted like three episodes.
It was difficult to record because he was smoking so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, you smoke. I know
that. My weight loss podcast stopped, and then I started losing weight. Go figure.
You should start it again.
I should. I should just do an episode. Hey, I just lost 60 pounds in the last
Tony, let's have some real talk now.
All right.
Let's have some real talk.
Real talk.
I worked at Deer Burson with this chick, and she was ridiculously hot. Mm. Then I moved on, and she's probably the hottest chick I've ever known, just hands down.
Did she work, co-worker?
Yeah.
All right.
So then I left, and then we became Facebook friends, and now all she posts is religious shit, and it is the worst boner shrinker on the planet. Like, Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you want to meet hot chicks, you need to come to my yoga class.
No, I don't want to.
We're all hot. About 180 degrees worth.
Nobody's attractive working out. That's just like some of those things that you do in private, and then you tell people you don't do.
Shame.
Yeah. Do it.
Are you sure nobody's hot when they work out?
Pretty sure.
I would beg to differ.
Admittedly, I've never worked out, so I don't really know what people look like when they do it. I assume that there's some, like, wheels and levers and gears involved in some fashion.
Nope.
Like the goggles, right? Or make everybody unattractive. You gotta wear some sort of, like, creepy eye protection.
What?
I don't know.
What?
It's not a shooting
range. For the wizardry, you know.
This is about as awesome as talking to a fifth grader about sex. Like, the bits and pieces. Hey, so what exactly do you know? Well, not really sure how this works, but I'm...
Well, you and most everybody, don't worry about it. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to awkwardly get into this entanglement with a girl, then you're going to roll around for a while, and neither are you going to know what to do, you know, assuming that she's as inexperienced as you are. You're going to make a bunch of mistakes, everyone's going to be embarrassed, you'll never talk to her again, and then you'll move on and find somebody to be less embarrassed with. Repeat this cycle for a couple times, and then you'll be fine.
When you figure it out, tell the next one that it's your first time
That's how you do it. The key is you want to lie to your sexual partner as often as possible.
Jeez. Basis of a good relationship.
That's the key.
Dear Lord.
Never keep count.
Never keep
count. Never keep count. Keeping count is never a good thing. Jesus. Don't keep count.
Tell everybody you don't keep count. Because you're going to keep count.
Yeah.
You're going to keep count, and
Here's another. Write down last names, because at some point you'll forget.
Oh, nah, you don't need to write down last names. You just got to remember that one identifying characteristic.
Mm, yeah.
But here's the real key. Lay the foundation that a statement of fact about one entity is not a comparison to a second entity. That is a critical fact you need to communicate, and you have to reinforce this over and over again.
Comparators are the worst. It will
never stick.
Comparators are the worst.
Well, they'll never understand, but you got to reinforce constantly.
So this is your pep talk for a fifth grader?
Yeah.
Boy. Yeah, we
this
had
is real
that,
talk.
We had that talk a couple of months ago.
And is this in preparation for Gen Con?
Yeah.
You're going to see some things you
now
can't
Now, Daddy's
going to
do some strange. When you see the sock on the door, you go find something to do for 20 minutes.
Go find Stingray. He'll probably be drunk.
Yeah.
He'll be the loud one.
Go find Chibi. Yeah. He'll be the safe one.
Yeah. Go find Stingray, because he's loud enough to yell for Chibi.
Yeah.
And he'll get Chibi for you, and it'll be fun.
Also, Chibi's easy to see the crowd, because he's like 7.5 foot tall.
Yeah, that's true.
And he draws real well. You don't see him drawing in the crowd, though.
No.
He's probably sitting there.
The conversation was, yeah, you know what? You're going to have sex at some point. And you know what? You know what?
Chances are good.
I hope you enjoy it, because it can be a lot of fun. I told him this, and Julie's over there going, what are you saying?
Melina had the same.
What? Why?
Melina's like, I can't imagine being the mother of a girl in her teens who was hot. Why? Well, because all the guys are going to have sex with her.
So?
You teach her to be selective.
Because we're specifically talking about the prostitute.
Yeah.
And she's like, that would be horrible. Like, trying to keep all those guys from having sex with her. Why? Why don't you just teach her to have safe sex, and then it's not an issue?
Right.
Go have you some sex. Don't get pregnant.
But make sure it's the kind of sex that you want to have.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Christ, just don't get pregnant, because, God, I don't want to raise your kid. I don't want to raise you. Ugh.
There are plenty and just of hot like, girls that have self-esteem enough not to get pregnant. So it's possible. I know it's possible.
Well, yeah, but here's the thing. I just assume everybody's an idiot is going to make mistakes. Mistakes happen.
Mm.
You got a 15-year-old dude in there shooting his load before he even gets in there. All I've done is got naked and he's already shooting his load. It's just a whole... I got this whole scenario worked out for this fictitious child I don't have.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is the worst time of the year, too, because it's prom season. So we have the obligatory moron with their gun taking a picture, holding your gun behind your daughter and her date. Yeah, it's on Facebook.
I've seen,
it's everywhere.
Yeah, I've
don't
seen
go,
those
don't go to Facebook.
I've seen those.
Don't
before.
Go there.
It's everywhere. It's not just Facebook. It's on the Twitters, too.
I don't go there. Now I have the moral superiority to say that I don't go there anymore.
You don't have time to go anymore. You're working now.
Yeah, I'm unfortunately.
You
I'm
have
working.
Things to do
yeah,
now.
It's terrible.
Yeah, that's the worst.
Yeah, I also hate working.
I feel like that's into my me time.
Yeah. I realized the other day that I hadn't just wasted 3 hours on the internet.
Yeah, so Luke sends the email during the day that lists every band name we've ever had in the email chain. It's like, man.
He only sees like 6 people a day now.
That's, yeah.
And he has to fill the other 7.5 hours with something.
Mm. All right.
Well, I feel like I talked about Fargo a lot.
Or at least some.
You know what I liked? I liked that Frances McDormand was pregnant, but the movie was not about her pregnancy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Goddamn constantly. I didn't have to go through any stupid goddamn baby plot.
Yep.
Fuck, I hate baby plots, Tony. They're the worst. Cringe every
the
time
baby
two
plot
people have
made,
sex.
Made the hiatus for the podcast last as long as it did.
What?
When Aaron was born. Oh. Julie was in the hospital for a fucking month. Before you got brought in. Save the podcast.
Save the podcast. Save the world.
Still here, so it must have worked. Both the podcast and the world.
That's what I tell myself as I pleasure myself every night.
Damn it. On the way home from work today, I was like, man, I will be so clever if I take that fucking what lantern are you quiz?
Oh, yeah.
And then when I see Holden, I'm like, hey, I got whatever. And they'd be like, oh, I can't believe you remembered. But then I forgot.
That
and
test
now
is
I
the
remember.
Worst.
I bet it is.
Because it's, here's a question. And because there's like 9 different colors of
so there's 9
have,
different answers?
There's 9 different answers for every question.
Oh, that's the best.
And it's,
oh, is it a... a BuzzFeed quiz.
Yeah, it's something like that.
One of the widest things ever.
Oh my god! I did take the How Pretentious Are You test, mostly because Melina took it and only got a 10 out of 97. So I'm like, man, I wonder what my that was her reaction too. She's like, man, how did I only score a 10? So I was like, wow, what am I gonna score? Yeah. I scored a 4.
Wow.
I took the How White Are You quiz. It turns out I'm not very white. But
I
mostly
took the,
because
I
all
took
those
the,
questions are about pop culture that I'm not a 14-year-old girl, so I don't know what most of these things are.
I took the how many of these 300 sci-fi movies have you watched quiz. You got like 229 or something ridiculous like that.
I did the which 90s rock girl are you? Yeah, Kim Deal.
Oh, I thought you were going to be Blossom.
She's not in a band.
I don't know anything about the 90s. I know at some point during the 90s, the Rams won the Super Bowl.
That is true.
Or that might have been early 2000s.
You're both right.
Yeah.
That's bullshit. My Packers can't get past the first round of the playoffs for 2 fucking years in a row.
It's because of the Packers.
You beat by the Giants. God damn, I hate Eli Manning. Tony, I gotta go.
Well,
I think it's funny how you care about it.
When I left work, my old job, I was like, finally, I can stop pretending to like football.
Yeah, you gotta really like it.
I really do like
football. He really does like football. No, I remember the, I hate the social contract where you have to talk to people about sports.
No,
conversation
first off,
that
I told
to have.
You that sports is a social currency.
Yes, that's it.
And that's why I started watching football. Well, no, I started watching football because I didn't know fantasy football.
It was fantasy football that
I made an attempt for baseball, but it's just so fucking boring.
And long.
Christ.
So many games. The thing that's nice about football is that it's compact season and there's not that many games. So
yeah,
it's
17 weeks
in.
Plus playoffs.
Yeah. So that's digestible. That's super.
Baseball has like 100 games.
164?
Yeah.
That's
not
means,
a sport.
Yeah,
that's not a sport.
So each game that you play has less than 1% of an impact on your total season.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It means everything's meaningless.
Which also means it's really easy to flow in and out of the conversations because you don't really have... It's the difference between watching a miniseries and a soap opera. You don't have to watch every episode of a soap opera to get the impact of what's going on. You can watch like every 5th episode and kind of keep up with the story. Where
they do know
a miniseries, you have to follow every episode. You have to keep up with it if you want to know what's going on. It's the same with baseball and football. Football is such a compressed season. There's so few games that if you really want to keep up with your team and you really want to know what's going on, you have to be there for every game. You have to watch every game. With baseball,
With penis in the hand, it's great.
You watch this week in baseball,
nachos
once a
in the
week,
other.
And you got it. You got what you need.
I even try and put our gaming on hold while football's on.
I know.
I'm very, very subtle.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, I don't feel well today.
Oh, god damn it! We weren't talking to you about the game.
Yeah, I was talking about my game.
Yep.
There's only one person here playing a real game, boys.
You're so subtle.
Well, let me wrap this up.
Yep.
Here. Oh, Daryl wants to go to bed.
Next week, Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, a classic. I'm going to watch
Super
Mario Brothers.
As classic as Mario.
So...